Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
Psalm 42, it reads, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walk among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration." Verse 5, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night, I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. 'O God, my rock,' I cry. 'But then why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, 'Where is this God of yours?' Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Amen, church. As you hear the word of the Lord, as you hear the scriptures, I hope in the way that I read it this morning, I read it from a New Living Translation. It's got more of a flair to it, more imagery. As I read that, I hope that it felt familiar. The words off the page sounded like something you may have said before, something you may have said at times. Where is my God? I'm deeply discouraged. Why? I will praise him as my deer longs for the streams of water. Church, we're going to get into this psalm, but in order to do so, I need to remind everybody and spin up the newcomers of where we are in Scripture and where we're going. So I want to remind people what this series is all about. This series is about the next level. It's a series we're going to be doing all summer. You're going to see this slide 100 more times. Why? Because I believe that when Kingsway transitioned pastors and when I came in, at first we were trying to figure out just what the vision for the Kingsway was and how could we survive 2016. And we did we not? Amen. I heard an amen. A lot of prayers, a lot of effort. 2016 was a great year because now it led us to 2017 where the church is growing, the church is healthy. And what we've discovered is he's now taking us to the next level. In order to do that, he needs to take you as individuals to the next level, spiritually. And we're learning about what the next level is, and we're learning how to get there, and we're learning tips about the journey and the destination, doing all sorts of series and sermons about it. I've been doing them. This is my fifth one now. We're even doing a class in there on Sunday mornings called Discovery to teach us about your giftings, and on Wednesdays to teach us about how to empower ourselves with the Holy Spirit, all about the next level. And last week, I was talking about a destination that some of us aren't too excited about. But there are others who think about the next level, and excitement's the first thing that comes to mind. They get all excited when they think about the next level. Some of you are thinking about the next level in your own life right now, thinking about where you are today and where you believe you're going, and you get excited. And if you're not getting excited about the next level, then let me ask you, what does excite you? What does make you jump up and down for joy like one of the fellows on the screen right now? What makes you feel like that? Look inside and ask yourself that question. Is it something from the past This is something from the past? A situation, an experience, something you've had in the past. You're like, oh, I wish days could be like that again. Maybe it's a family situation, or maybe a job situation, or a church situation. I know my wife, she's programmed all of my children to say at the age of 5, I don't want to be 6. I wish I could stay 5 forever. Because it's so much fun at 5, and then they turn 6 and 7 and 8, they talk back. 9, they tell you what to do. 10, they're leaving the house, right? Like, what? We're at the 5. Maybe what excites you is the future. Maybe what excites you is what's happening to you now and what you believe is about to happen. I want you to think about how you react. Maybe what excites you is a job opportunity, or a windfall of money, or a new relationship, the hope for meeting a new person, going on a vacation. I want you to look inside yourself right now and say, what makes you react this way? Or maybe state it differently. How would you react when you're really, really excited? Would you go, woohoo? I was on Google this morning just because I wanted to see if I could find some new ones. And when I was looking at Google, I mean, I found 100 different reactions. You know, people at computer screens going, woohoo, I just, you know, got $1 million. Or they're all excited, so they're hugging and smiling and are showing their dimples, or they're skipping and dancing. I don't know, if Publishers Clearinghouse came to your house, how would you react, right? I want you to think about that. Because a lot of us think that's the next level, pure bliss, pure excitement, that God is clearly taking me somewhere that is going to change my life and I'm going to be so enthralled with joy. You know, and there's some case for that. Oftentimes, God does take you to those places. You know, he knows every desire of your heart. He wants what's best for you. So, of course, he wants to move you in a direction that is best for you. And often, that brings you into a state of joy. But as we're learning in Scripture, and as we've been in this journey together about the next level, we've also learned that excitement sometimes is preceded by tough experiences. And my mom used to say, when you have a headache, I used to remember, you don't take the extra strength medicine, you take the regular medicine first, because if it doesn't work, then you can take the extra strength medicine, right? And that generally, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah, it's just common knowledge, right? And that's how life is. Sometimes you're going down, you have difficult spots. We sometimes say, we have to wait until that person hits rock bottom. Why is it this way? These are natural laws, and I could talk about Scripture, but I think you understand the point, that in order to get up, in order to sometimes get to that moment of ecstasy, that moment of joy, sometimes we have to go through difficult experiences, and oftentimes we call those experiences grief or grieving. The story of most of our excitements, if I think about most of my excitement, I think about the most exciting times of my life, they're with my wife. I think about the moment that I proposed to her. I think about the moment we had children. I think of these very exciting times. Those are the times you guys laugh and smile, aww. But I'm not telling you about the time she broke up with me, right? Or the time that I broke up with her and like how life was over. I didn't think I was going to breathe again. Right? Or all the challenging times we first got married before we had children, when we didn't have a place to live, and we're moving back in with mom and dad. I didn't tell you about all these grieving experiences. My point is there's experiences that are journeys, and God is no different. God walks us through these journeys of life no differently. Grief. I want to talk about grief, because as I thought about grief, you know, if you look about the theory of grief, the famous psychologist, she mentions there are 5 stages of grief, right? Denial, anger, depression, bargaining, acceptance. These are commonplace. Many books have been written. You know, modern psychology, you know, it ministers the 5 stages of grief. You know it well. I want to show you a little video. You know, lighten the mood a little bit. You know, when you talk about grief, you know, it's good to juxtapose that with some comedy. How many of you have a favorite TV show? Don't lie. Oh, almost everyone has a favorite TV show. How do you feel when your favorite TV show has been canceled? It's the worst, right? Especially if it's a new TV show and you're like, oh, I'm finally getting into something. I got something to do on Tuesday nights now, you know, and then they cancel it. It's a terrible feeling. This video is about the grieving process of your favorite TV show being canceled.
This show is too good. There's no way they're gonna cancel it.
I mean, come on, the writing is perfect.
It's an Emmy award-winning show. Why would they end it? Why this show? Why?
Also, 2.5 Men get another season, but we have...
No, why?
This is the darkest timeline.
Dear network executives, it's come to my attention that you hate good things. Please bring back my show, and I promise the safe return of your family and your cat, Fluffles. What's the point of watching a new show if you're just gonna cancel it anyway? That's it. No new TV. I'm only watching Friends and Cheers.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows their name.
It hurts. Well, it's over, but at least we still have community. Why?
The five stages of grief, church. So I wanted to show you that video because it's fun and it reminds us, you know, we've all been through grieving experiences and those five stages should be familiar to you. And I also put it in there because I liked the ending. They got to the acceptance stage where, you know, you begin to move on. And notice, he then backtracked back to the depression stage. Anybody who's gone through the stages of grief know they're not really as linear as that. There's a lot of flip-flopping. And so as I began to think about that and you're saying, why are you talking about grieving? It's because the Lord really, really impresses upon me as I began to read the 42nd Psalm today. You see, the five stages of grief are what we could be talking about this morning, but the Lord has moved us into this next level, and I believe we're going to be talking about the five stages of wilderness. The five stages of wilderness. See, I've told you about the next level and that some of us may be going through a wilderness experience. I've also told you that as a church, I believe we may be going into a little bit of a wilderness experience. And I've also told you that unexpected wildernesses, well, they're good things. You see, going through a spiritual wilderness is something that is commonplace in Scripture. We see it over and over again. And the wilderness, by the way, in Scripture, it looks a little bit like this. It's more of a desert, right? Moses was in a desert when he was wandering. When he saw the burning bush, he was in a desert. Elijah was in sort of a desert experience like this. Jesus went in a desert experience like this. Often God uses these desert wildernesses like this. And you wonder why. Well, let me ask you this. We use the word in the English language all the time. Oh, I feel like I'm in a wilderness. I'm going through a wilderness. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean we're in a dry spot. We're in a barren or a hot spot. We're in an undesirable spot in our life, in our spiritual life. Often is ushered because of a hardship, the loss of a job or a tragedy, potentially a loss of life. A separation from a loved one or a spouse or a relationship. You go through these and you feel like you're in a wilderness. You're in the desert. You literally, your emotions feel that way. Hard times are wildernesses. And then I said last week, just to remind us, I said, are you going through a wilderness experience? Because if you are, consider yourself. I need you to say it out loud because some of you are like, I'm not saying that. You're not blessed. This is awful. This is awful, I hear. Really awful? Really? Because when Moses was in the wilderness, he got the Ten Commandments. When Moses was in the wilderness, there was a little cloud that was guiding him around. When Moses was in the wilderness, literally manna was falling from heaven. When Moses was in the wilderness, on a daily basis, he spoke to God. Elijah, when he was running away, went to the wilderness, and Elijah was in the wilderness, and God spoke to him. Revelation comes in the wilderness. You know, last week we said, spend less time stewing over your destination. Stop worrying about where you're going and spend more time pursuing God's revelation. He is trying to speak to you, and often he'll use a wilderness experience to speak just that. Jesus Christ had to go through one of these. So why should we think that we somehow are immune to a wilderness experience? God speaks revelation in the wilderness. The problem is some of us don't know exactly how to deal with wilderness experiences. There are a number of emotions. And so I am going to share with you, right out of Scripture, the five stages of wilderness. So to tell you a little bit of story before I get into this, and people love stories, so this was very interesting to me as I was studying this. Most of the Psalms was written by David. He's a psalmist. David was an amazing story. A lot of the Bible was written about David, and you know it's the same David as the David and Goliath, that same David. And we talk about him often. And a lot of the Psalms we read last week, 63, was also about David, about thirsting for water. And it directed me to the 42nd Psalm. And many, many biblical scholars believe there are a few psalms that weren't written by David himself. They were written by part of David's crew. What was David back then? Remember, David was a musician. David was a king. David was a prominent figure. But at times, he was under duress. At one time, he was being attacked, and he needed to flee into the wilderness. And that was last week. We talked about the revelation God gave him while he was in the wilderness. But here's even more interesting, I believe. You see, here in the 42nd Psalm, many believe it wasn't written by David himself. It was written by the sons of Korah, one of the sons of Korah. And I don't have a lot of time right now to get into who the Korahite people were and the history behind them. But safe to say that they were in a place with David that they never expected to be. They fell out of God's good graces, the Korahite people. They thought they would never be blessed again. They thought they would never have God's presence again. And somehow, someway, over the generations, the sons of Korah, after all the ancestors were judged and dealt with, the sons of Korah, who didn't know about all that past, they began to pursue David and pursue God again. And they were elevated to the place of worshipers. And they became David's chief worshipers. So he was the chief director, right? He was the chief orchestrator of the worship. The sons of Korah were thought to be the chief singers. You know, like the Loras and the Ambers and the Sandys, right? These are the sons of Korah that were singing the words. And they were in the midst of celebration of the holy times, and they would be a prominent part of the celebration, singing the praises to God. But in the midst of this duress, they were exiled, and David and all of his people had to be in the wilderness. And so they were isolated, and they were alone, separated, away from their palace, away from their possessions, away from everything they knew, in the wilderness. And in that moment, the sons of Korah wrote this psalm, the 42nd Psalm. So I'm going to share all the stages of the wilderness right here for you. It's pant, say it. It's pour, it's pout, it's pray, and it's praise. Has anybody ever experienced one of these things before? Only a couple of you? Three or more. That's right. Hey, who's experienced three or more? Raise your hand. There you go. Who's experienced four or more? Raise your hand. Five or more? Yeah, exactly. These are human responses. What I'm trying to explain to you is if you've gone through one of these, you probably are a human being. And more than likely, if you're in a wilderness experience, you've probably gone through all of them. And that also makes you a human being. Now let's talk about how we go through a wilderness experience and how we should handle it and how we should deal with it. Because that is what the sons of Korah were doing. These were amazing poets, amazing musicians. They developed so many amusing songs that they worked with David on. And the 42nd Psalm is no different. Let's start the first word. It says, to pant. To pant. Pant is when you are at the point of exertion, when you're exhausted, you're out of breath, and so all you can do is suffer for really short, quick breaths. And ultimately, a lot of times, especially with a dog, your tongue ends up getting expressed. That's panting. That's panting. It's funny, but when put in this context, it's much more serious. You see, the King James Version, the New International Version, you know, they say these words, and I'm sure they are so familiar to so many of us. The first verse of the 42nd Psalm says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. I want you to think about that for a second, church. You see, pant in this context reminds us that it is an intense desire. To pant means it's an audible agony. I can't get my breath. I can't get enough. I am so thirsty. I am so dependent on you, O God. My soul longs after you, O God. Like a deer who literally requires water to survive this day, my soul requires you, O God. This is the first stage. If you're not sure if you're in wilderness experience, if you're feeling this intense desire for something more, this dependency that you can barely go on in life, breathe another breath, go another day, you're probably entering a wilderness experience. And church, I've had more than 12 people come up to me this month and tell me that they're in a wilderness experience. Some of them are health-oriented. Some of them are job-oriented, home-oriented, relationship-oriented. Some of them are ministry-oriented. What I love about this scripture, and before I move on, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Verse 2, it says, when can I go and stand before him? Church, now that's a desire. That's a desire. What panting reminds us of, and the reason why the Lord used this imagery through the sons of Korah in this scripture, is because when you're longing for something, when you get to the point where you're expressing your longing, it very quickly identifies your priorities. If you long for something, it will line up with what your priorities are. If you're starving and you need to eat, your priority becomes eating. If you're thirsty and you need something to drink, your priority becomes getting something to drink. Take it out of the basic essentials. What do you long for today? If it's a new job, if it's a new house, if it's a vacation, if it's a car, if it's this, if it's that, more than likely that is your priority and that's how you'll line up your life. But church, in the wilderness experience, he's able to cut through all the chase and remind you where your priorities are. And if you're so upset because you're in the wilderness experience that you can't have this and you can't go there and you can't get this, he's telling you you got the wrong priorities. And when you get to the point when you realize that your priority should be longing after God, oh God, the living God, you'll be ready for stage two. And some of us never get out of this stage. And so we pant and we pant and we pant and we pant. Even a dog knows to go to water. And who is the living water, church? Who is the living water, church? Over and over and over again, it describes our God as living water. Over and over and over. But I got to move on. We don't have time, church. Got to go. Wilderness experience part two. What is the next stage of the wilderness? It is to pour. Say pour with me, church. Okay, what does pouring mean? Well, it's pretty obvious. I don't have anything to pour this into, but it's to take something and to begin to empty it out. We often associate it with water or liquid. We pour from one vessel into another. And emptying out, a flowing of water, a pouring out, it would mean to pour. Now, I ask you, when you're in the wilderness, do you have a pouring out? Think about it for a second. What pours out of you during your wilderness experience? Oh, some people are figuring it out. Because if you're in a wilderness experience, there is no doubt in time you have said to yourself, do I have any more tears? I think I've cried them all. I've given them all to you, Lord. You know, the Lord stores up your tears in heaven. That's a whole nother scripture. I got to stay with this one. Pour out, the Bible says. Verse 3 says, day and night I only have tears for food. Think about that, church. When you can't eat, you have no appetite because you're in such despair. You ever been there before, church? You see, the writer of the psalm is saying he is a human. He knows who God is. He walked with the Ark of the Covenant. He knows who the Lord is, and yet he can only cry because of his experience. It says, my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? How many of you have been in that experience? If you're a Christian and you're in ministry today and you've believed that you are doing the will of God and you are pursuing God and you're in a wilderness experience, believe you me, somebody will come up to you and say, you got it wrong. Well, if you were serving the Lord, this wouldn't happen to you. This be blessings on you. The church would be huge. You'd sing the best songs. Your church would be filled. The parking lot would need ushers. You aren't doing something right. Really? That's not what I see. What I see is when I'm in a wilderness experience, people are going to come up to me and say, where is this God of yours? So if you want to come up to me and tell me what I'm doing wrong because there's no God here, come have that conversation because I bet you I'll tell you I'm in a wilderness experience. Church, this is what's happening. Some of you are experiencing today, others coming to you, and maybe they're even Christians saying, where is this God of yours? And what that does is it pushes you to a point of pouring out. It says in verse 4, now, the New Living Translation uses a beautiful poetry here. The poetry says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. The original text looks a little more like this. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. When you're crying so hard, your soul is crying. church. Have you ever been there before? Some of you are there today. Not in the sanctuary, not right now. Maybe last night. Maybe this week. Maybe you know that day's coming tomorrow. How do you deal with this? In the stages of grief, this is getting into sort of that angry stage where you're just so mad and angry, it comes out in tears, and you just don't know how to respond. You don't know what to do. Look what the writer of the 42nd Psalm says. When my heart was breaking, as I pour out my soul, these things I remember. When you're in these moments, church, when you're in these moments of such despair, what is the remedy? The word tells us it's remembrance. It's remembrance. It says here, I walked among the crowds. I remember walking among the crowds of worshipers. I remember being at church and worshiping you, Lord. I remember your spirit. I know it's real. I felt it. I remember just last Sunday, church, leading a great procession to the house of God. You see, these people back then, they were part of these holy days, and they would be in front of the processions and singing with great crowds of people and honoring God and singing for joy and giving thanks and great celebration. That's what he's talking about here. And in the moment where his soul was pouring out the most, he thinks back to how faithful God was. Church, if you're in this stage of the wilderness today, and you're crying, and your soul is crying, I encourage you to look to your memories, look to what God has done for you, look to his faithfulness up to now, how you got here. This wilderness experience you're going through is on purpose. God is working through you with it. Do you hear me, church? Oftentimes we say, we just want it to go over. We just want it, we're supposed to be over. Well, you have a lot to learn. You're only at stage two. Stage three, I'm going to keep going. Stage two of the wilderness. Pout. Say it with me, church. To be sullen, to be sluggish. Or today, you know, our kids pout with crying. Or my worst, I'd rather them cry than complain. Just cry. I can tune that out. I've learned how to tune out crying on the plane, at home, bedroom, otherwise. But when you start complaining, especially if you got two of them complaining. And by the way, I don't know a child yet that I've come up with in this community, in this church, in my family, who doesn't only complain about first world problems. Really? Seriously? Your biggest problem is you lost your iPhone, or you can't get on the internet, or your shoes are dirty, or you don't like broccoli, or over and over and over again? Stop complaining, please, kids. Right? Okay, enough of that. My children aren't here, thank goodness. But anyway, when we go through wilderness experiences, we often get to a moment in the stages of wilderness where we pout. What does pout looking like? Well, look at verse 5 with me, church. Verse 5 looks like, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? 43 verse 5. The New Living Translation, it says it like this. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Ever ask yourself that question? Sure you have. And for you, if you're not one of the chief worshipers, you may actually just blame this on God. God! Why have you made me so discouraged? That's effectively what he's saying. Why am I so sad? Why haven't you done something by now? And you begin to pout. You begin to complain. Why me? This is scary, church. Because this in here is just written in the original King James. It uses the word despair. Despair is the beginnings of depression. This psalm is often used as a case to understand how the church should deal with depression. Downcast, right, is this concept of being cast down. Depression is this concept of being held down and depressed, low. So here's the question. What is God's antidepressant? What says it right here in Scripture? It's his ability. You see, if we focus on our inability, we become depressed. When we focus on his ability, we become elevated. Let's look. It says, right in verse 5, so I get it. Okay, why is my heart so sad? Okay, stop thinking that way. I mean, I can hear the guy in his brain thinking this. I should stop talking like this. Why am I so sad? Stop talking like this. Okay, what should I do? I know what I should do. I will put my hope in God. Which I love this verse, because notice this verse 5. What did he do here? He went right from the pout stage, and he tried to jump all the way to the end stage, the praise stage. So I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. He's trying to focus on God's ability and not his inability. This is what we should be doing, church. But here's why I'm telling you, why I'm preaching this to you today the way I am, church, is because this doesn't end at verse 5. If it did, I'd tell you, every time you pout, just praise God and all will be good. No, there was a human being, a praise worshiper, who went through the 42nd Psalm with beautiful scriptures, who leads us to believe there's more to it than just praising God right there. Because look at the rest of verse 6. I don't know what it says in your Bible. In my Bible, it says, now I'm deeply discouraged. Right? You're laughing because you know it's true. Yes, I know I'm so sad. Praise you, Jesus. I'm still so sad. You can't just go right through the pout stage. You have to really, really go through. I need to say it like this. Church, too many times it's because of the way Christianity is, or even Pentecostal faith, the way we preach and the way we pray, and you hear these amazing prayers up here, and we have people come up and pray, and it's wonderful praying time, and you're like, I just can't pray like that at home. So I go at home and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Or dinner table, you know, God is good, God is great, you know, whatever you're praying. You need to learn to pray some angry prayers. You need to learn to take it to the Lord and say, this is how I feel. I'm upset. I'm sad. Help me, Lord. You say you are my God. Show yourself to me. Pursue him, church. When you do, you may discover you're still sad. That's because we're not in heaven yet. Now look, now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon to the source of Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. It says in verse 7 here, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. You can read in your version, NIV, in King James, you'll read and you'll hear things about waterfalls and breakers, which are waves, and the water's tides, it says, sweeping over me. You see, what I need to share with you, church, is he's trying to be real. This is the language he used then. It's not the language we would use now, but it's great imagery. When you're in this moment of pouting, when you're in this moment of despair, when you're in this stage, you begin to feel a weight come over you. It's a heavy, deep weight, and Satan loves to pile on the weight. And the scripture is teaching us here that, wait a minute, there's good weight and bad weight. There is no condemnation in the Lord. Don't be condemning yourself for the past and what Satan is telling you. No, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. What you're supposed to be realizing is you're in this wilderness experience so you can hear God's revelation. And what is his revelation? It says, the raging seas as your waves, God's waves, God's surging tides sweep over me. I want you to think of this imagery. If you have an edifice, a structure on the sand, and the waves are coming and they're surging over it, they're surging over it, what's going to happen? It's going to find the weak spots in the foundation, church. And those weak spots are going to come crumbling down. That's not a good feeling, especially if we think we're good Christians. So here we are praying, and here we are pouting, and here we are in this stage of grief, and we say, Lord, 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 why? And he's saying, you have weak foundations. You want to go to a place of great promise, but you are not strong enough, young lady or young man. You have some foundations that are weak, you think are strong. I am going to put my tides of water, my raging seas over you. I will break them down and make them stronger for you, church, so that you can go to the next. Are you with me, church? So he goes from pouting to praising to pouting to realizing that God, this weight over him, is God using him and teaching him. Elijah went through the same thing. Jesus went through the same thing. Moses the same thing. But this one is beautiful how he wrote it. In verse 8, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and each night I sing his songs, praying to the God who gives me life. This is the next stage. The next stage is when we actually get down to prayer. You see, we could pray the angry prayers, we can do the pouting, we can do the pouring, we can do the panting. At some point, we'll get through that, and we'll begin to start to hear God, and we'll begin to start to pray the earnest prayers. You know, it says right here, it says, by the day the Lord directs his love, and night his songs is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. What I'm trying to say here, church, is you come to the conclusion that God has your best intentions in mind. He is your life that is to come, church. He is your next level, church. And you're going to have to think about it day and night. During the day, he's directing you with his love. It may not feel like it, but you need to recognize it and remind him that you acknowledge him. And then at night, look, now this is interesting. Because when I'm in despair and I'm going through the wilderness, the nighttime is the worst time. I wish the nighttime would go away. If I had to take a pill to make me sleep through it, then that's what I'll do. If I have to exhaust myself so I can't think through it, that's what I'll do. I hate the night in the wilderness experience. And I get phone calls as a pastor all the time with people at night in despair. And I wish Amber could hear all this right now because she's not here. Because Amber is our worship leader, our chief worship leader, and she's isolated now with her baby, probably going through a similar wilderness experience. And in that experience, look what this worshiper came to the conclusion of. It is in the night that his song is with me. The original text begins to intimate that he was writing his songs at night. That is when you feel the deepest emotion. You're the most real with God with your prayer. Is in that moment that he's giving you the song of your life, church. That is the moment that you dig deep inside. Now, for me, I don't write music. For me, this is where I need to dig deep and say, I'm going to stop thinking about all the past and all the future, and I am just going to pray the songs back to you, Lord God. Turn some music on. Turn one of our podcasts on. Listen to the music. If you're creative, consider writing some music. I believe Kingsway is going to be a church that begins to write music, and we begin to sing them at this very altar. Amen? Hey, Ben, I got to keep going. What did he pray? What did he pray? Oh, God, my rock, I cry in verse 9. Oh, God, my rock. That's verse 9. When you're praying, remind yourself that he is the rock. I just told you he's beating down on your foundations. He's making you stronger. He's trying to point out that you can't do your ministry with your strength or talent. You need him. You can't accomplish what you want at your job with your strength or your talent. You need him. You can't do what you want to accomplish with your children. You need him. Church, are you following me? Who is the rock? Is it you or is it him? He will break down with sweeping breakers and waves over your rocks until he becomes your rock. Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies, having the same conversation with God? They taunt me and they break my bones. It's painful, Lord. Where is this God of yours? They say to me. Now we get to the last stage. The last stage is praise. Now, if you have that music on I talked about, the stage comes a lot quicker. Praise. It reads like this in verse 11. See, my glasses aren't working right, Brother Chuck. Oh, I got to put them on a little closer. Here. Verse 11. It says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. In verse 11, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? This is when, and let me tell you, this is what I've learned. This is what I learned from reading Psalm 42. I need to share it with you like this. There's so much to preach about here. I mean, I could preach two more sermons on it. I'm so excited because I know that some of you are going through wilderness experiences. I know some of you are about to go through a wilderness experience. And I know you need the tools from Scripture to help you understand what God's revelation is in your life. So recognize you're going to go through these stages. Recognize how you're going to go through these stages. Recognize you may go from one stage to another stage and back to another stage as this writer did. In verse 11, he says, why am I discouraged again? Looks like he's going back to pouting. Why is my heart so sad? It's almost similar to what he did before, but this time I believe it's written with a different confidence. So this time he's gone through and prayed. This time he's gone through and he's realized who his rock is. This time when he goes through, he says to his spirit, he says, I will put my hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. In my translation, it reads, I will put my hope in God. And this is complicated. I don't have a lot of time to get into it because this is language and it doesn't get translated quite well. It's meant to be talking about yourself. So the translator of New Living Translation said, let's make this easy and say, I will put my hope in God. It's talking about me. In the original text, it's written like that. Put your hope in God. Who is he talking to? He's talking to himself. He's talking to his soul. He is commanding his soul. His soul's in despair. His soul's under attack. His soul's the one that's in the wilderness experience. He's telling his soul, put your hope in God. Put it all in him. I will yet praise him because he is our Savior. He is our God. You see, your life is made up of a spirit and a soul and a flesh. In very the same way that there's a Trinity, there is that spirituality in you, church. And you need to learn to command your soul, to praise your soul, to usher your soul, to praise him in the moment of the wilderness. This is what Jesus Christ was doing. It's why he had to do it. This is why Moses heard from God in the wilderness. And this is why it took Elijah, the wilderness experience, for his soul to realize how God speaks. Be still and know that I am God. Church, do you want to go to the next level? I do. I'm not talking about Kingsway now. I'm talking about you. Do you want to be on the next level? Is this enough? Is your spiritual walk enough for you? Church, we've preached it here. We've read it. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Does it feel that way to you? If it doesn't feel that way to you, church, it's because you're still going to the next level and you need to get through this experience, church.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with his people, his purpose, and his power. God bless you.